Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1. I'd like to read one verse, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1:18. The Apostle Paul says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Now I want you to turn to one other verse, Galatians 5, verse 11. Galatians 5, 11. Again, the apostle says, "And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so for another time to be able to come together and meet and to hear the gospel of free grace. Lord, we realize that the preaching of this gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And Lord, would you have mercy? I know you're going to save your people. Lord, if you'd be pleased to save tonight, for that we thank you. Lord, I ask you to bless the word as it's preached, bless it as it's heard, and I ask this for Christ's sake. Amen. The preaching of the cross. I want to deal for just a few minutes on what is that? The preaching of the cross. And then I want to deal also with this issue of the offense of the cross. What is it? And why is it offensive? When the cross is preached, according to the terminology of Paul the Apostle, when the cross, the preaching of the cross, is preached, he has set forth that it's offensive. He had asked in Galatians 5:11, he said, "Brethren, if I yet preach circumcision." What he's saying is this: if I'm preaching salvation by man's works, by something that a man can do, by man's will, by man's ability, a message that nobody, as far as the natural mind is concerned, is offended at. Nobody's offended at that. Then, if that's what I'm doing, see, he had had Timothy circumcised back in the book of Acts. Not because of or for salvation or for the fulfillment of the law, but because of the Jews that were converted that still had some old prejudices. Prejudices die hard. The old grave clothes that we just have to get rid of. And he had Timothy circumcised. And some of them were saying, you see there, Paul doesn't believe what he says. He don't believe that grace. He had Timothy circumcised. That shows you that Paul still believes that you got to be circumcised to be saved. And that's why he made this statement. Brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, if that's what I'm preaching, that salvation is by being circumcised, then why am I being persecuted? If I'm preaching a message that nobody's mad at, then where's all this persecution coming from? If I'm preaching circumcision, if I'm preaching that circumcision is the way unto God, then I'll tell you this, the offense of the cross is ceased. He's saying, if I'm preaching salvation apart from God's grace, then salvation by grace has ceased to come from my lips. Now let me say this. We don't preach to be offensive. I don't want to be offensive. When I stand to preach, I want you to understand exactly what I'm saying. I want you to understand that I'm setting forth the gospel of God's grace. I know that the gospel of free grace, I know that it is offensive to the flesh. I know that. I'll be honest with you. There's times that I'll stand here and I'm making a statement, Neil, straight out of the Scriptures. And I'm thinking, boy, I know that rubs the natural man the wrong way. I know it does. But brethren, we ought to obey God rather than men. This is true. These words are so. The gospel is offensive, but we're called to faithfulness in the truth. I know this. The message of the gospel is the message that God is going to bless to the salvation of His people. It's not my ability to be able to preach it. I've said before, there's a lot of men that can preach better than I can. I know that. I'll admit it. But concerning this gospel of free grace, it's not a better message that they preach. They just may do a better job of it. But I know this. This message is blessed by the Spirit of God. I don't have the ability to convey that to your heart. I don't. But I know this. If God's pleased to bless it, this is going to be it right here. So, we preach the truth. We don't preach circumcision. We don't preach salvation by man's works, man's will, man's ability. Peter said in Acts 4:19, Peter and John answered, said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, we'll judge you. The preaching of the cross means that we preach salvation according to God's will, God's purpose, God's election, God's particular salvation to His people. And we add no works at all on man's part, and that's offensive to man. That's the rub right there. Listen to this. Men are not offended at the truth that Christ died on the cross. Nobody's offended at that. They're offended at why He died on the cross. They're offended at how He died on the cross. This is what the Scripture says. Our Lord died according to the Scriptures. Well, what does the Scripture say? Well, the Lord said in John 10:15, I lay down my life for the sheep. Nobody's mad, nobody's offended that Christ died on the cross. They're offended that He died only for His people. That's the rub. They're not offended that the Lord rose from the dead. People talk about the resurrection, and nobody is offended at the resurrection. They're offended that He was raised for or because of our justification. What does that mean? That means that from before the foundation of the world, Almighty God justified His people in Christ. He declared them just, holy, without blame, in Christ, justified them, eternally, eternally justified them. Came to this world, made flesh, lived before God's law perfectly, established the righteousness of Him as a man that was imputed, righteousness imputed to His people. Laid down His life for His people. Made sin, made what they are, made sin. God Almighty forsook Him and killed Him because the soul that sinneth, and He made answerable, personally innocent, but made Himself answerable to God's law, assumed the responsibility. And when the law beheld sin on Him, God killed Him. Killed Him. Shed His blood. Paid the debt. And they buried Him. They put Him in a tomb. And 3 days later, because He was personally innocent, He paid the debt, but He Himself was innocent. That debt now being paid, He paid it. Now there's nothing else to pay. He did not have an eternal debt before God, as I did, you do, you do. He paid the debt, then there was no more debt to pay. And 3 days later, God raised Him from the dead for or because of our justification. God Almighty declared, He shall put away the sin of His people. He's the surety, chosen in Him. He died for them. He paid their debt. Put their sins as far as east is from the west. Behind the back of God. Wherever that is. Gone. It's gone. And raised Him because of our justification. Men are not offended at the resurrection. They're offended because He came out of that grave because of the justification of His people. Men are not offended that Christ saved sinners. Nobody's offended that Christ saved sinners. They're offended that He saves whomsoever He will. They're offended that He shows mercy and compassion on whomsoever He will. That's what they're offended at. That He saves sinners? Nobody's offended at that as long as they think that their free will was the reason that He saved them. But you let them hear. When God told Moses, when Moses asked Him, show me Your glory. Show me what You think. Show me Your attitude. He said, this is what I think. I'm going to have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and whom I will. I'm going to harden. Men are not offended at good works. They're offended at being told that they don't have any. That's what they're offended at. They don't have any in themselves, being told that all of their righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Men want to believe that there's something in them that's good. They want to believe that they have some right, some ability. The preaching of the cross. It's not that we're saying that He died on the cross. We're not saying that He died on a wooden cross. What we're saying, the preaching of the cross means that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ fully accomplished the eternal purpose and will of Almighty God to redeem and save a people that He had chosen to save. In particular, in His Son. The preaching of the cross declares that he put away the debt that his people owed to the holy law of God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are found in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Those who walk not after the flesh. That is, trying to justify themselves before God by their own ability. But after the Spirit. After the message of God's grace in Christ. Now the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, unto us which are safe, delivered, protected, preserved, it's the power of God, the power of God's grace, the power of God's mercy and compassion to His people. That's the preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross encompasses everything that Almighty God ever purposed to do in the salvation of His people. That's the preaching of the cross. From the conception of it, which never began, the choosing of God's people, the actual surety, standing for them eternally, standing forth and coming into this world and living for them and dying for them and buried for them and rose for them and ascended for them and seated in the heavenlies with them right now. That's the most amazing thing. God's people are glorified right now. You say, how can that be? We're still here. How could we be in Him from before the foundation of the world? How is it? He said, my ways are not your way. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. I'm telling you, the preaching of the cross is the totality, the revelation of the totality of Almighty God's purpose, accomplishment. Now the preaching of the cross and its offense to the carnal heart was completely set forth in a message that our Lord preached. Now I want you to turn to John 6. Our Lord Jesus Christ preached a message, and I'm just going to hit the high points of it for the sake of time, but He preached a message, and as He preached this message, I'm telling you, if there's, I love reading messages, different ones, Rolf Barnard, Henry Mahan, Brother Scott, stuff, listening to message, reading message. But I'm telling you, if there was ever one that we ought to take note of, it's when our Lord preached. Now you can write this one down. This one right here is perfect. It's perfect. Sometimes I'll make a statement. I'll think of a word. When I'm preaching, I'm thinking, oh man, boy, was that the right word? I don't know. Maybe I should have said that differently. Not here. Now here's a perfect message on the preaching of the cross. Here it is right here. Let's just look for a minute and see what our Lord had to say on this subject. I know this. On the preaching of the cross, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ is set forth. Who was that on the cross? Let's look at John 6, 31, 33. Our fathers, that's some Jews talking to the Lord, and they say, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he that cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. God Almighty is who we're worshiping. When we set forth in the preaching of the cross, that the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross, this is what we're saying. That was God Almighty. The Lord Jesus, who is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When He walked this earth, that was God Almighty. God completely, that came into this world, the true bread, that came to save His people. When the cross is preached, who was on that cross? That was God. That was God dealing with God. The altar Himself. We have an altar. The altar of His deity demanded satisfaction. The sacrifice was His humanity. The priest was God-man, the advocate. There He is, God and man. He's the altar, is His deity. The sacrifice is His humanity. The priest is the deity, humanity, the God-man. And there's God offering Himself to Himself and satisfying Himself at the cross. Preaching of the cross. That's foolishness to the unbeliever. But to us that's being saved, it's life. Truth. Great mystery. So when the cross is preached, we set forth, that's God. That's God on that cross. That's God that we're dealing with. Preaching of the cross means that man's rebellion and unbelief is exposed. In the preaching of the cross, men are told what they are. Look at verse 34-35. They said unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. See, they when they heard that, when they said, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Lord, Moses gave manna to our fathers in the desert. And you're saying that there's some bread that come down from heaven. If we eat it, we'll live forever. Give us that bread. They didn't understand. They heard Him. They was looking at Him. Looking straight at Him. And they didn't hear. They didn't hear what He said. They said unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger. He that believeth on Me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen Me and believe not. Here was God, the God omniscient, telling them, you don't believe Me. Man is exposed in the preaching of a cross. His inability. He's dead. He will not come. Thirdly, the preaching of the cross. God's electing grace, irresistible grace, and preserving grace is always and completely set forth. Look at verse 37. All that the Father giveth Me. That's election. That's election. Here's the preaching of the cross right here. This is election. Shall come to Me. That's irresistible grace. Almighty God is going to give His people a new heart. And they're going to come, and they're going to come willingly. Every man, every woman that comes to Christ comes because they want to. Before they didn't want to. He just told them. He said, you've seen Me and you don't believe. You don't believe. But all that the Father gives me, in time, they're going to come. They're going to get under this message right here. And they're going to hear. And the way they're going to hear is because I'm going to give them a new ear to hear. They didn't have one before. But I'm going to give them a new heart, new spirit. And they're going to come because they want to come. They want to cast themselves upon me. They cast themselves upon me for mercy because I've already shown them mercy. So there's electing grace, irresistible grace, here's preserving grace. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'm not going to cast him out. There's a flesh that they're going to deal with, and they're going to struggle with. And I'm not saying that. I heard Brother Henry say this. It's not that a man's not chargeable. I'm not going to say that he's not chargeable. He's not worthy of being charged. I'm just saying God's not going to charge him. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. That's a blessed man. He just won't charge him with it. Why? Because he charged it to his son. God's just. He doesn't just sweep it under the rug. God Almighty's dealt with it. He's dealt with the sins of his people. And I'm not going to cast them out. King David didn't do anything that any other man didn't do. But you know what the difference was? The grace of God. I'm telling you, when the Lord exposed what he did, he went the rest of his life a broken man. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. My sin is ever before me. He never forgot it. And it broke his heart. I've sinned against God. He wasn't proud of it. He was broken. God has shown mercy to him. When the cross is preached, man's exposed. God is exalted. God's election set forth. God's preserving grace. Redeeming grace. Fourthly, the preaching of the cross declares that God's will is absolutely going to be done by Christ, the obedient servant. And this preaching doesn't even mention man at all. Now, don't you listen. Look at verses 38 to 40. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, believeth on him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. All honor, all glory, all praise unto him. I came down. I do the Father's will. I am the obedient servant. Everyone that seeth me and believeth on me, I'm going to save him. And when that message is set forth in the power of God's Spirit, exposing man and exalting God, that's where men are offended right there. That's where it starts right there. And I'm going to show you something. I want you to look, watch the progression of this thing. The Scripture says forth in verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him. I looked up that word, grumbled under their breath. Do you hear what he said? Do you hear what he said? Yeah, I did too. They murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Everything that we just looked at from where we started, that's where it started. He was preaching. They're back, verse 34, he started off and Talk about being the bread, living bread. Eat of this bread, you'll never die. Never die. Lord, that's what we want right there. And he kept setting forth himself and God's will, and God's purpose. He told them what they were, you unbelievers. The unbelievers. And he started to murmur. He started to grumble. And the next thing that happens is his deity. On the offense of the cross, the preaching of the cross, and the offense of that cross. His deity is then questioned. Look at verse 42. They said, "Is not this Jesus, son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? This is not the God I worship. I know this guy's mom and daddy. I grew up with them. I've been knowing Joseph. I've been knowing Mary all these years. And that boy right there, that's Joseph and Mary's boy. That's the son of Joseph, who father and mother, we know. Telling us that we're unbelievers. Telling us that he's the bread of life. Bread that came down from heaven. But the God of all grace and all power and all purpose rightly rebukes a man for his unbelief. Look at 43. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves." Man's total depravity is again set forth. He said in verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." No man can except the sovereign God, whose sovereign will it is to do as he pleases, draws them to take for oneself. That's what it means. Lest the Father takes them for himself. No man can. That message is offensive. That's the offense of the cross. Paul says, if I'm preaching free will, circumcision, man's ability, like you say, why am I being persecuted for what I'm preaching? If I'm preaching circumcision, then the offense of the cross has ceased. Verse 45 says, it's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. That's in Isaiah 54:13. Every man, therefore, that hath heard, hath learned of the Father, cometh to me. I mean, man is left out of the equation altogether. And that's the rub, the preaching of the cross. Declares that God has always taught, always prophesied that He would teach His own. That He was going to teach them of themselves. No believer is offended being told that he's nothing in himself. They admit it. They agree with it. Because you know why? They know it in their heart. Why? They've been taught of God. They're taught of themselves. They're taught of the Lord Jesus Himself. They're taught of His love for them. And their love for Him because He loved them first. Not because they came up with love or came up with ability or will. This message declares life to be only in Christ as He is declared in the gospel. I told you about men have no problem talking about another Jesus. Verse 46 to 51. Not that any man hath seen the Father save he which is of God, and he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, as he set forth in Scriptures, He that believeth on me, being God's surety for his people, as Christ reveals himself to be, as the scriptures reveal himself to be. He that believeth on me, how he died at Calvary, why he died at Calvary, why God raised him from the dead, why he came into this world in the first place. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Right now. He that believeth already has it. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jews and Gentiles. Not every person in particular, you know that. But I give it for Jew, Gentile, white, black, red, man, woman, bond free, rich, poor. I am the bread that satisfies all of my people. The flesh that I give, the belief in my flesh, my blood, my life, my death, that's life. Now the offense of the preaching of the cross now becomes more evident. First they murmured. They grumbled under their voice. But now look at verse 52. When he said that, the Jews therefore, because of what he just said, strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They began to quarrel. That's what strove means. They began to quarrel and fight and dispute among themselves. The Lord knew it and questioned the soundness of his words because they obviously sounded foolish to him. How? I'll tell you this. I may not understand the depth of everything that the Lord says. I see in part. I know in part. I see through a glass darkly. But I know something about spiritually speaking. I understand. I can understand what it means. We ate supper tonight. And I can understand how I can take a spoon and I can eat some vegetable soup. Put that in there and I can stick it in my mouth. I can chew it up and I can swallow it. I understand eating that way. When he speaks of eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood, I know that he's talking about spiritually. That there's a spiritual eating, a spiritual drinking. And it's by through the hearing of the gospel, and it's by faith that the Lord gave me, and I enter into it, and it's a feast to me. I enjoy it. It's good. It's tasty. I like that. I like to hear it, and I like to eat that again. I like steak, and I like to eat it again. I like to eat it again. To feast on his flesh, drink of his blood, is truth. But the truth of the preaching of the cross never wavers. Men oppose, men murmur, men strive. But it never wavers. We never move to please the flesh. We never deviate. I don't want to try to make it sound a little bit easier. I don't want to try. I'm not trying to be unnecessarily offensive, but I want to be faithful to what I'm preaching. They began to strive against him. Then verse 53, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh, the life, of the Son of Man, His life, unless you enter in by faith that what He did for me. His life is my substitute. That's what I'm believing. I believe Christ. I believe that when He lived, He walked before God's law and earned righteousness for me. And that's the only righteousness that I got that will answer for God. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of God and drink His blood. When He died for me. He died in particular for me. He died for Marvin Stoniker. I know that. I believe that. I believe He knew me. I believe He knew me when He was there. I'm dying as Marvin. I'm answering for Marvin. I'm putting away Marvin's guilt. I'm putting away his sin debt. Except you eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I believe this is my life. When he died for me. When he lived for me. And I believe that there's coming a time I'm going to see him as he is. I'm going to look at him. And I want to thank him. Lord, thank you. No man can. No man will. But the truth of the preaching of the gospel, though it never wavers, God's people love it to be so. They eat, they drink of Him. They don't depend on their feelings. The less you eat, the less you drink, you say, well, what am I supposed to feel? I'm going to tell you something. Don't go on your feelings, because I'm telling you, your feelings will disappoint you. You're not going to feel sorry enough. I wish I felt more sorry for my sins. And I don't care how sorry I feel, it's not enough. I can tell you that right now. Faith is that marvelous grace whereby a man believes God. And if I start looking at my feelings, I'm going to be disappointed, because I'm going to fail right there. He that eateth and drinketh lives. But as he continued to preach, his speech became more and more clear to them. And now they began to express more and more of their resentment. Look at verse 55 to 60. He said, for my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, and I in him, a man that believes God, looking away from himself, looking to Christ, he dwells in me, and I dwell in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me by faith, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. Excuse me. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum, preaching. There was where the law was always set forth. And now he's talking about faith. Faith. This contradicted everything they'd ever heard. Contradicted everything they'd been taught. That message of sovereign grace. That message that was saying that unless a man eats by faith, contradicted what they thought, because they were sons of Abraham. Because they were born in Abraham's lineage. I can trace my lineage all the way back to Abraham. So what? I've said before, if you give me enough time, get a little help, I can trace mine back to Adam. Faith. Faith. Not by the works of the law. Not by obedience to the law. And they heard him say, and realize this, if what he's saying is so, I'm lost. You're contradicting everything that I've ever rested in. And the Lord asked the question that struck to their very rebellious heart. He said this, verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said to them, does this offend you? Are you offended at this? Are you offended because I'm telling you that everything that you've ever rested in for salvation, all of your works and all of your baptisms and all your professions of faith and all your walking down the aisles and all your coming down here to the piece of carpet and crawling all over this carpet right here and making a show in front of everybody else and trying to make everybody see how spiritual you are and raising up your hand and throwing your head back and lifting up. Are you offended? Because I'm telling you that all of those works are nothing. Are you offended at that? He said then, verse 64, what and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? You're offended at what I'm saying right now. What are you going to do when you see me leave this earth and ascend into heaven? You that have ridiculed and mocked me and strove against me and murmured against me and now offended at me. What are you going to do in your unbelief when you see me ascend into heaven? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The Spirit that makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Here's men shut up to God's will and man's total depravity. And he said, therefore said I unto you, verse 65, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. You know, when you hear a statement like that, if the Lord gives a man or woman a new heart, a believer will cry out for mercy. God, have mercy on me. Lord, don't leave me to myself. Lord, I come the only way I know how. Lord, I'm coming as you say I am. In myself, I have nothing. I have nothing. I am nothing. Lord, if you leave me to myself, I'm going to perish. I don't know how to come any other way but to say, Lord, have mercy on me. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What can I do? I can't pray enough. I can't feel bad enough. I can't cry enough. What can I do? I come as a helpless sinner that has nothing else to offer. I'm nothing. Lord, you're everything. I said unto you, no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. You find a sinner that comes as a nobody, as a helpless nobody. And I'm telling you, God's shown mercy to that one. Verse 66, and from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. I'm going to tell you something. This message is going to have one or two effects on a man or a woman. It either breaks them, or they lift up their head before God and stick out their chest and they say, I don't need you. I'm doing quite well by myself. Thank you. I've got my religion all in order. I think that I've done quite well for myself. I think I've been faithful. The Scripture says they didn't walk with Him anymore. I'm not going to listen to that anymore. They went back. Stony ground hearers. He sprung up quickly. They just said just a few minutes before, Lord, evermore give us this bread. That's what we want. Till they understood what He said. And they walked no more with Him. Don't be surprised if men leave. Don't be surprised if they go. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. Then the question in closing, asked to even His 12. Verse 67, then Jesus said unto the 12, Judas is standing there. Will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Are we going to go back to the law? Are we going to our false religious? Are we going to our free wills? Are we going to go back to ourselves? Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? You 12. And one of you is a devil. And He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray Him, being one of the 12. I thought about when He said that, and they knew. Peter said, we know, we believe, you're the Christ. He said, I've chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil. They're going to voice it pretty soon. Lord, is it me? Is it me? Am I the one that'll betray you? I know I got the potential. I know it's there. Lord, I know this. Lord, if you don't keep me, Lord, I'm going to die. A believer is one that goes through this life after the Lord has called him by grace. I'm telling you, all this hip-hop, high-falutin', jumping up and down, and hee-haw, and golden chairs, and you know, wealth and health and all that. I'm telling you, a believer is a struggler. They're sojourners in this world. And they've got one hope. He is my life. They want to hear the gospel one more time. Tell me one more time. Tell me about grace one more time. Tell me about God's sovereign grace. Tell me how He chose a people. I might be found in that group. Tell me how He shows mercy to sinners, because I'm one of them. Maybe I can find some hope in that. Lord, evermore, show mercy to me for Christ's sake.